The second week of a 2-week series that's focusing on our job as a church, expanding the gospel in Central Iowa and beyond. And just to kind of put it in context, last week we talked about our brands and our distinctives. This week we're going to talk about commitments or participation that relates to that. And then next week we're going to move into some training on one of those commitments and one of those ways of participating that even if you're not necessarily, you know, someone who's going to be the focal point of a rebuild program, more than likely we're all going to get involved with these in some way. So next week you'll learn a lot more about that. But what we're going to do next is we're going to start today with a little exercise of connecting our distinctives with our brands. And I have to say, I'm a little disappointed with many of you. Because last week, I handed out something, and I used slides that were all about our brands, but I didn't use logos. That was just begging for grief. I didn't get any grief for that. So you need to step up your game with what's wrong this week. All right? So what I want to do is I want to just kind of go through, show you the brands, connect the brands with the statement about those brands, and then we're going to do an exercise with them. So, the great City Church of Ames Des Moines logo there. Also got it down at the bottom. We've got our Build logo. I learned that we don't have a Build Institute logo, so I summoned all my depths of graphic design, and I did change the font, too. I didn't just move whatever that other one is. So we've got a couple of different ways that we package some of the use of the Build resources. Build Institute, Antioch School, then some of our other things. The Antioch Initiative doesn't, I mean, that does seem to be a lot more significant when you put the logo on it, not just the words. So, it's our attempt to see a broad network of churches engaged properly, but especially urban. Therefore, we have a 30-city urban strategy, or sometimes we call this our urban initiative, that is particularly focused on 30 North American cities, and then our city church network, which is kind of a network of like-minded churches that are a lot like us, focusing on the city church concept, but then also the engagement with the progress of the gospel. All right, so I got that on the sheet that I handed you. On the other side of the sheet, and by the way, even Jeff would be pleased this morning because I printed in color. You know, I thought that if I'm going to use the logos, I should print this one in color. It's only right. I don't want to get grief for that one. What I want you to do is I want you to take, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes right now, and I want you to make some connections between our brands and our distinctives. Now, if you weren't here last week and you didn't catch up with what we did, you're at a little bit of a disadvantage. And there's a variety of ways you can do this. You can, like, just draw lines to connect them. You can put numbers next to the logo. You can put, you know, the kind of the abbreviations that go along with each of our brands over there next to the distinctives. But take 5 or 10 minutes, and feel free to cheat and look on your neighbors and talk with your neighbor if you want to do that. But I want you to think a little bit about the connection between our brands and our distinctives. Webs on a few of your tables. I see some that look a little more like highway maps with like bypasses and other things. Did you find that you could like connect all of these distinctives with the Ames Des Moines City Church? Well, I hope so, because they're supposed to be distinctives of the Ames Des Moines City Church. So, if you found yourself making that connection, that was kind of intentional. But one of the other significant things I wanted you to do with this exercise is to see some of the connections to some of the other things. And you may have gone to like build. Okay, you know, build is involved in all of this somewhere. But when you got to some of the others, did you find yourself making many connections to the Antioch Initiative or the City Church Network? How many of you would say, you know, I didn't really make any connections with it? Anybody say that? No? Yeah, I don't believe you. Because it was kind of at the end, so it's going to be one of the last ones you get to. And generally, we don't think about that as much. But we should. Because in many ways, our church is not just a church that has these distinctives, but our church functions as, I'm not sure what the right word is. We used to call it a skunk works. They use that word anymore? That's like an old research and development term. The place where they just kind of went and worked on the crazy ideas. Okay, forget that one. So we're like a lab or a research park. Okay, can we go with that one? In many ways, we're like a research park where we're putting resources in place and we're trying to help foster an environment in which innovation can take place, in which some creative things, in which models can be built that are then used in other places. So whenever we're engaged in anything, I mean, you see this most clearly on Sunday mornings when Jeff is teaching on some new thing that he's producing. You know, it's for us, but it's also for the network. And he uses the interaction with us as something that's producing resources for the network. One of the reasons we're making such a big deal about rebuild in the next couple of weeks is not just because it's a good thing to do that churches ought to be doing, which is true, but it's bigger than that. It's something that our whole city church network needs to be doing more. It's something particularly that our urban initiative, our 30-city urban strategy, it's so important that we get some of these ideas about rebuild figured out. So when we do it, we're not just doing it for ourselves. We're doing it in many ways as part of a research park. You know, building some labs, some models in labs that can then have lessons that are extended way, way beyond where we would ordinarily think, you know, that when a church does something, it's just doing it because it's good. Well, we're an unusual church because we're a church situated in a metaphorical research park that's going to have a lot more impact. All right, so that's just connecting the brands with our distinctives a little bit. And that may be an exercise that you'll want to continue on a little bit more at your house churches tonight. But the main thing I want us to focus on today is what does commitment to our 10 distinctives look like? And particularly, what does it look like in terms of participation? Because I like to say knowledge is what knowledge does, or commitment is what commitment does. And if we say we're committed to things, but we don't actually participate in it, well, what kind of commitment is that? You know, maybe it's just a deferred commitment. But for most of these things, these should be pretty active things that we're participating in. But what does it look like? So let me give you a few comments on this, and then we'll have some more discussion of these at our table. And here's what I want you to be keeping in mind as you do it. I want you to be thinking about where are you strong with regard to some of these commitments? Where you would say, yeah, I'm actively participating in that. My commitment is really strong here. I also want you to think about where your commitment may be weak or at least not so strong. And but then the big thing I want you to be thinking about is why. Why are you strong in one area? Why are you weak in another? Is it just a reflection of the way you were raised, your tradition, your personality, something along that line? Or, you know, you're strong in one area because you've been hanging around somebody who dragged you into participation in that area? And just think about the why, because that may open up why you're not as strong in other ways and the path by which you may end up becoming stronger and more committed and participating more appropriately in some area. So that's the kind of the prep for the discussion that'll come a little bit later. So, our commitments. First of all, our building. And here I just kind of took my clever little first line thing We have a handout. Actually, yeah, let's pass out this handout too. So if you want, I have all the content for this here next. And if you didn't get if you didn't bring your distinctives document back, you can get one of these. Don't give those to everybody. Just give those to the people who didn't bring them last week and who don't have access to it digitally. You don't need to raise your hand for the one about commitments. We're going to give that to everybody. If you want the one that actually describes the distinctives, go ahead and raise your hand. Which I didn't think would be anybody because it's been posted on the website and surely you've gone and used it there. In our ongoing commitment to be paperless. This is why we're not paperless yet. Jonathan, give it to the people who have their hands raised and get to this side of the room also. Thank you. I thought you were trying to like collect money for it or something there. Hey, not a bad idea. All right, so you've got a sheet that talks about all the distinctives. We're not going to talk about them in terms of just explaining them, other than what does it look like when you're actually participating and committed to it. So, okay, we have a building. Do you come here on Sunday mornings when we have events? You know, that's a good thing to do. Do you use our building for some of your house church or cluster events? Because sometimes your cluster may be of a size that you can't really do it in a home. Well, we've had cluster events here at the building. Volunteering here in the build office, helping us with some of that use of the building. Volunteering during the build conference and other special events, yeah. How about this? How about you helping to identify ways for the building to be used in the community? And actually helping our community make better use of the building. And then I have heard that we could always use a little bit more help with the setup, the cleanup, the maintenance sorts of things on the building. That's huge. Did I just do a Trump there? I wasn't trying to. That's huge. How does he do that little... whatever. Seriously... One of the things that makes the biggest impression on the community about this building is just how nicely it's set up, how helpful we are with regard to it. But that doesn't happen by accident. And I don't do a lot of that work. Somebody else needs to be doing it. And so that's a great way that you can help us help our building be what we want our building to be. Do I hear an amen from you guys who show up at midnight to set something up for the day before? Yeah, well, I know they could use a little help on there. All right, next one, Sunday morning. Of course, be here. Be here for our Sunday morning gathering when it's appropriate. Be here, though not just for yourself, be here for others. View your time on Sunday morning not just as your developmental time, but the developmental time of the people around you. Bring people who need to be here. Pay attention as we let you know, you get the emails about what's coming up. pay attention to that in terms of helping others be here who ought to be here on a Sunday morning. Be prepared in attitude and content. I mean, come here expecting what it's going to be and aligning yourself to say, hey, this is going to be, it's going to give me an opportunity to develop. And even if I don't think it is, somebody thought it would, it might help me. So maybe I should come with an attitude of that person having something that I might actually need. Use it as the content of what we do as a point of reference. And don't just come and go on a Sunday morning, but I would hope that after every Sunday that you're accumulating just some knowledge about what's going on here that you can then use as points of reference in helping other people. And then using Sunday mornings when we don't have gatherings for the purposes that we've indicated. You know, doing some of the outreach in your community with people who are available on Sunday morning. Don't just skip and go to another church service somewhere, because that's what God expects. If we schedule a Sunday morning without a meeting for the purpose of you reaching out to your neighbors, try to reach out to your neighbors, please. All right, small groups, this is really about Sunday nights. Do you treat house church as core and central? Most of evangelicalism doesn't. It treats the Sunday morning service as core and central. Well, our house churches are to be core and central. Therefore, be committed, be regular. Do your part with regard to logistic needs. Pay attention to your own giftedness and the uniqueness that you bring in terms of the help for one another. And then be a part and give. Don't just come to get or fulfill an obligation. Bring a teaching. Take that seriously and try to be doing things. That assumes we're doing things through the week, bringing that teaching. But then receiving a teaching. Do you come on a Sunday night thinking, well, I wonder what God is going to give me via the other people in my house church tonight? The whole idea of that bringing a teaching is that somebody will receive a teaching, not just so that the person who brings it gets a brownie point for bringing a teaching. God can do some amazing things with the teaching that he brings and that emerges from the giftedness and experience of the people in a church. All right, the Lord's Supper. Do you view your tradition in light of biblical teaching? Most of us tend to view biblical teaching in light of our tradition. That's never appropriate. No matter what your tradition is, it needs to be viewed in light of biblical teaching. And in the recognition that the biblical teaching is fundamental, not your experience, as great or as awful as it was. Welcome the Lord's Supper, particularly the bread and the cup time, as a weekly recalibration toward Christ. Sometimes it may seem a little perfunctory. It's not. Don't let it just be a mere token. Let it be something that at least once a week just recalibrates you and your focus on Christ. Similarly, use it as a way to help those that might be visiting to pay attention to Christ. They may like the people, they may like the food, they may find the discussion interesting, but do they focus on Christ? It's actually a great evangelistic tool that kind of brings the whole evening right into focus as an event that Christ is present at. All right, this one, thinking about more the seek the welfare type stuff, where we're looking as an outward focus. I mean, a church is a mission. That it has a mission, it is a mission, it's supposed to be not just inwardly focused on the experiences and growth of its people, but in relation to the service that they're doing. So participate in things like rebuild, as appropriate, other forms of outreach and service, life development groups, that's something in our cluster we're taking very, very seriously, walk through the Bible programs, other things that as a church, as individuals and as a church, you can do that is expressing a care for the community, seeking the welfare of the community or of the city. Then taking civic roles, as individuals. The city has always got positions on boards and things. But be careful. Don't just take them, because some of those responsibilities will just suck the life out of you, and they'll take just tons of time. Don't just run out and grab those, but be thinking, how does your role, how does taking that kind of a civic role actually fit with your with what we're doing as a church? Oh, I almost skipped right by the fact that one of the great ways to do that in a community is by connecting people you know with one of the most dominant things that happens in our community every year. And on Saturday, the premier event behind the Iowa State Fair is the first game of the Iowa State football. So for those of you that are interested, I do have schedules and magnets up here if you want to. But only as an outreach tool. But I mean, it is, seriously, it's a great place of making connections, and I hope you, those of you that come to it, think of it that way. I mean, let's have a good time, but there's some opportunities there where we get to meet and to talk to people that actually, I mean, does some really good things for our mission as a church, and we encourage you to take advantage of that. I even have two extra tickets still for sale at my cost if you want those. All right, actually one more thing. You never have enough cyclone gear, and so I got a great new t-shirt that I'll show you afterwards if you want to see it. All right, Sunday school on ordered learning. We expect everybody to be in first principles. And when we say everybody, I mean everybody. If you feel like you've kind of graduated, you haven't. But if you think you've graduated, there still is some things to do, like teach others, coach others through the process. And what you find is when you do that, you get a lot better yourself, even with regard to first principles. But leaders should participate in leadership series courses, either at the Build Institute level or perhaps at the Antioch School level. And really getting excited right now because this fall we're going to see the first batch of graduates from the Antioch School from here. So that's kind of cool. But we also have folks who, like, they're really good at going to classes but not doing assessment. And including assessment as part of this, being committed to an assessment process so that you're actually letting somebody look at your work, you're actually using benchmarks, or somebody else is using benchmarks to assess what sort of progress you're making. For those of you that struggle with bringing a teaching on a Sunday night, let it just flow right out of what you're doing with first principles. Just whatever you did that week on first principles, that's your teaching to bring. And if you didn't quite understand it, then you bring a teaching that you didn't quite understand and say, hey, this session teaches this, but I'm still not quite sure what it means. It's a great thing to do as bringing a teaching. And then relying on those things as points of reference for the other aspects of your development. I mean, it's not just that you do first principles and build classes. We like the idea of reading other books and, you know, doing TED Talks and lots of other stuff, but we would encourage you to take all those other things and try to see how do they connect with your own development in faith. What part of first principles does it relate to? What part of perhaps a leadership series course experience does it connect to? All right, kerygma and didache. Do you know the content? It's not all that complicated. I mean, it's a simple version of it is laid out right in the first book of First Principles. You should know it. However, I think most of you should have gone even beyond that and not just know it, but you should have actually done the kind of biblical work that you've produced your own version of it. So that it's not just you honoring some that we've done, but it's you actually letting God's word tell you what the proclamation is, what the aspects of the teaching. And then using them. It's one thing to know them. It's another thing to use them as points of reference for following Christ and as tools for measuring maturity in your faith. If someone asks me to help them figure out how mature they are in their faith, I just take a first principles booklet, I flip it over, I look on the back, and I just talk about each booklet. And if they're characterized by the things that are described in those booklets, then yeah, you're probably mature in your faith. And if we come to one and they don't really know, then we open that one up, we look at it, and we find that the areas where maybe they need to be shored up a little bit, those first principles booklets is an outline for what it means to be mature. All right, church planting, for those of you that don't get the little clever reference there at the top. Do you think of the work of God today as primarily a church planting movement? Do you care about it? Do you care about it particularly in places where build is very involved? India, China now, some huge things in various parts of Africa. Massive scale in Ethiopia and Nigeria. Uganda is another one that's emerging. Do you care about church planting locally? And if you're here in Ames, do you care about Des Moines? We've got some great things happening down in Des Moines. That's why we kind of have a little Des Moines picture there. Because we know that most of the people that are going to be here on this event are Ames sort of people. But God has given us a mission that includes Des Moines. So most of us need to care more about that. We also need to care about our own neighborhood as we look to see that as God helps us put a church within reach of everyone in central Iowa. So having a church planter mindset, you might say, I'm not a church planter. Is that like the cyclone alert that comes on during the pregame? Okay, nice. You might say, I'm not a church planter. Okay, you need to have a church planter mindset. And what's a church planter mindset? A church planter mindset is someone who participates in church in light of the fact that the work of God is a church planting movement. And that you're not just there for your own sake. You're there to help a church be strong as that church participates in the progress of the gospel, both itself and in partnership with others. And then, this one gets a little tricky, be open to how you might be involved in church planting. I say if. No, you all are. You just haven't quite recognized it all. Because if the work of God is a church planting movement and we're involved in it, well then, we're probably in some way going to be part of a church plant now or later. It doesn't mean you're going to be the guy who leads everything and does it all or that it has to be in your house. But that I think in the future we're going to have more and more of a sense of how all of us, even the way we look at our churches themselves as church plants that we're trying to build and establish and extend to others. All right, this one was, we throw the word apostolic around a lot. Well, how do you view church? Do you still tend to view church as Sunday morning services, and at least we do something on Sunday morning? It's not quite a service, but yeah, I can come and feel like I'm doing my Sunday morning obligation. Or do you view church essentially as a mission, and that even participating in this is equipping you for that mission? Do you view church leaders as your, little pastoral friends? Nobody looks at us like little pastoral friends. But, a lot of folks do. They look at their pastor, that's just, I need them to come when I'm in the hospital and pray with me. No, pray with each other. We all ought to be doing a lot more of that sort of thing. It isn't, the main thing that we do as church leaders is really lead on mission and lead us forward in our participation with the work of God, particularly partnering the progress of the gospel globally by supporting social leaders. Local, social leaders here, in urban centers, in places all over the world. But then partnering in the progress of the gospel locally, as we don't just sort of tell you, oh, go plant a church, but to be doing that in conjunction with us as leaders, as you kind of let us know what God is doing with you and how God is using you, well, then that very well may end up being something that we as church leaders need to come alongside and help you actually form that into a church plant, or that you respond to our initiative as we think perhaps, yeah, there may be something that we could do through you and your giftedness or your connections. That's what apostolic means. And then, how many pastors do you have? Well, 50 and more. Do you welcome the shepherding provided by your house church leaders? I've noticed over time that some of you are much more responsive to me than you are to some of your house church leaders. I don't think that's the plan. I think you're supposed to be responsive to all of us. And really recognizing that that's something that God's put in place and that you welcome pastoring from the 50 or so pastors that we have, which is kind of a funny thing. I was talking to Chad last Sunday night. Like, Chad, when you started with our church, did you ever envision that you would be leading a house church on a weekly basis? No? But now you take seriously your role in shepherding in our house church, right? Can I call you Pastor Chad? He prefers that. And there's something still about the terms there, but okay. So, okay, we're not going to give him a collar and some other stuff yet. But still taking it seriously, and taking it seriously doesn't necessarily mean a title, but it's a function. And it's a role that we have there. And so, those of us who have those kind of roles do need to take it seriously. Those of you that don't need to recognize that it may be on its way. That is the essence of 2 Timothy 2:2. That's not the passing it on to entrust to reliable men who are able to teach others. That isn't just something for large networks in India. It's for our house church. And what that means, that as we become some of those reliable people, that we ought to think of ourselves as engaging in teaching others. And for a lot of you, that is going to mean being the workforce for our churches of the future. All right, so those are our 10 commitments to our distinctives. Now, let's see what time we have here. All right. I want you to take at least 10, maybe 12 minutes at your table. I want you to just talk a little bit about your own commitments. Where are you the strongest, the weakest? Most important, why? And that's why to both questions. Why do you think you're strong in one area? Why do you think you might be weak in another area? And then, what are some of the next steps that you might take in order to dial up your commitment to where it ought to be? And that may mean taking one that you're already committed in to another level. It certainly ought to mean taking one where you're weak and adding it to your list of strong. So go ahead and discuss that at your table. If you haven't noticed, on the back of this sheet are the questions. And then I've also given you a couple of questions that I would encourage you to use at your house churches tonight. And that's these questions. Because what often happens in this kind of a conversation is that you focus on a few areas of commitment, and you may end up feeling better about yourself than you really deserve. And that's my job, to continue to help you on a path of growth and development. And I would be interested in you telling people in your house church why you don't think you need to be committed to some of these distinctives. In fact, maybe even go down the bullet list and say, which ones on there do you think God does not want you to be committed to and participating in? Because that is what it is. I wrote this not necessarily thinking that it was just a whole bunch of good ideas, but I think it's pretty much what describes full participation in our church. All right, so now that I've given you the guilt trip, you're not going to get everything done tonight. So focus on some next steps. Ultimately, I care not about judging you for how much you're committed or which ones you're committed to, which ones you're not. What I really want to happen now is for everyone to just position themselves more in a posture for growth. And so I hope your conversation tonight really focuses on these next steps. What does it mean for you to be taking some appropriate next steps? This isn't about, you know, becoming 24/7. You're over here at the building and you're like, you know, you spend 80 hours a week here at the building setting up. We're not talking about those kinds of things. We are talking, though, about a wide range of participation, and that most of us need to take some additional next steps as appropriate, as they fit, because I think God wants us shaping our lives with the church in mind, and that's really what this is all about. So with that, I'd like to just commit, since that's our word today, commit all of this conversation, all the thinking, all the work that the Spirit is doing within you, and the work that God is yet to do through your house church conversations tonight. I'd like to just bring that to the Lord in prayer, so please pray with me. Well, Lord, we do bring these things to you, and we bring them to you in recognition that you are even more committed to them than us, and that it is your commitment to them, and it's your teaching with regard to these things that that should draw us forward. So, Lord, help us. We can't even make any significant progress in our own strength. We do need to be dependent upon your Spirit. And so right now, on behalf of all of us here in the Ames-Des Moines City Church, I do want to just commit us to you and to beg you for your help and your strength from your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.